Modern Christian Dads, Season 2. We're about to explode. Just dudes talking news, sports, and God.
All right, Modern Christian Dudes Podcast. Myself, Jeremiah Johnson, alongside Funko Pro, Greg Walden.
Hey, guys.
We all thought, and that was a retro song. We like to play the retro versions of Modern Christian Dudes every once in a while. Yep. I'm sure some of you thought that Jesus came back and we missed the rapture because Funko Pro Greg Walden was gone or absent from the podcast for a little bit.
Well, I assure you that didn't happen yet, but looking forward to it, though.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, but he's back with us. Keep in mind, we just did four podcasts called Sin Management, a four-part special that I did based off some studies from my class that I'm in, my master's program right now, based off of Samson specifically, but a paper that I wrote called Samson and Male Sexuality. So then it morphed into a four-part podcast series called Sin Management. So how do you manage your sin, Greg Walden? Just kidding. It's a clickbait title. You don't really manage sin. So total clickbait. So
just rely on Jesus.
We look at Samson, who I would argue tried to manage his sin and doesn't go well. So lessons learned from Samson in that series. So check it out. Four-part series, part 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Yep.
Got a couple of the dudes that joined me on that one. So we'll get back to it today. Dudes talking news, sports, and God, as always. So, well, I think the biggest sporting news would be the NFL draft this weekend. Yep. Coming out of that, I have four primary takeaways. The first is just simply not even a draft takeaway. And guys, listen, we are now inundated with draft specialists. All these guys, right? There used to be Mel Kiper. Have you heard of Mel Kiper before? He was the main ESPN guy. And now there's just a billion of them, obviously due to podcasting, social media. So now there's just a gazillion draft experts. But I would kind of go, my takeaways are this. Is number one is the Chiefs are still the king of the mountain, right? So you got to knock them off. They're the defending champs. I know that is not really draft related. But then connected to the draft is – the draft is like the ultimate gamble of all time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if you love gambling, you'll love the NFL draft because that's the gamble. It's amazing year after year, especially us dudes that are getting older now. You can look back at these drafts and, oh, this guy was going to be amazing and just, you know.
It never turned out. Again, they could be great in college, but when they get to the pro level, that's a whole different game. It's like, they may have cut it really well in college, but they didn't get to cut pro and they don't really cut the mustard.
Yep, six quarterbacks were drafted. That was the big thing in this year's draft is six quarterbacks were drafted. So that was a big deal. That was the most ever. A lot of that is attributed to a COVID year where guys got an extra year, transfer portal, things of that nature. So Caleb Williams was the number one draft pick. And then, you know, I don't know. I mean, there was not too much shocking. Penix Jr. out of Washington went to the Atlanta Falcons. That was probably the most talked about topic this morning because – they just signed Kirk Cousins to a very large deal, $100 million guaranteed. Then you draft a quarterback with the 8th pick. So that's kind of been the most controversial storyline coming out of it. But I don't know. Again, it's a wait-and-see thing, right? You just have to wait and see. Again, the Chiefs, they draft the fastest receiver in the NFL draft.
Another Tyreek Hill type speedster.
But they haven't really hit on their receivers. You know, they've missed on some receivers, too, the past few years, so who knows?
Well, yeah, like Tony was a kind of a disappointment. I mean, the guy had talent, but
Sky Moore hasn't really.
And now you got the Rice guy who got in trouble. He's going to be suspended. Well, they're waiting for the result, but he's likely going to have some suspension.
I think the career's over there. Yeah. I was reading some articles saying basically it's not a matter of if he's guilty. He's guilty. So they're saying he could get from 2 to 25 years just on one of the felony counts.
Goodness gracious.
He has multiple felony counts. So you're looking at, the career's over.
Yeah, he's playing prison ball after that.
Yeah. I mean, he might, let's say if all scenarios worked out, he gets 5 to 8 years in prison.
But no one's going after that. Yeah, he's not going back to the NFL.
It's a done deal. Yeah, so anyway, that's a little bit of the draft stuff going on. And then really my only takeaway is, you know, wait and see. And then finally, I'm not a Dallas Cowboys fan, but man, how disappointed are you if you're a Dallas Cowboys fan this offseason NFL draft? Jerry Jones comes out at the end of the season. We're all in, and he gets no free agents, just a real standard kind of draft. And then their biggest move is they re-sign Ezekiel Elliott, who's a washed-up running back. So anyway.
Don't worry, guys. It's still your year, right?
Jerry Jones, like, You're in your 80s now, man. Like, okay, I'm not speaking death over you. I'm speaking life over you in Jesus' name, Jerry Jones. But here's the reality. The average lifespan of a male in America is 77. You're now in your 80s, Jerry Jones. I'm not for sure based on your choices here that you're probably going to get a chip before the end of your life.
Yeah, well, you know, the famous circle, the little circle diagram you see the Cowboys every year, like they're at the start of the year, this is our year, blah, blah, blah. Then they choke into playoffs, and it's like, so they're down at the start of the circle again.
Oh, those Cowboys.
Damn, our boys, it's a year, you know.
But. All right, I got some stories to dive into today, and let's, you know, Funko Pro Greg Wald and I, we always try to get lunch, if we can, after the podcast. This is crazy because, you know, those food prices.
Yeah.
Hiking up. Specifically, I found this article saying prices at California, Chipotle, McDonald's, and other fast food chains are rising following minimum wage hike. Here's what the article says. Prices at Chipotle, McDonald's, and other fast food giants in California, praise God, we're Missouri folk here, are rising, but we're thinking of you, our modern Christian dudes in California, are rising after a minimum wage hike went into effect. Chipotle said in an investor call Wednesday that prices at its nearly 500 California restaurants climbed 6-7% during the first week of April compared with last year, playing out across its menu. The state isn't making it easy, Chipotle chief executive Brian Nicoe reportedly said. Similar to others in the restaurant industry, we implemented a statewide price increase in light of new legislation in California, increasing the wages of restaurant workers, chief corporate affairs officer for Chipotle, Lori Shalhoub, told Fox News Digital in a statement. I feel ripped off a little, Greg LeVay said of rising prices at McDonald's. Prices for Chick-fil-A in Los Angeles are also putting the squeeze on customers. The prices for a spicy chicken sandwich at that location had gone up from $7.09 from $6.29, or 13% increase. And this is all attributed to that minimum wage going up to $20 an hour in California.
Yeah, unfortunately, the socialists don't understand economics very well. That you know, here's a lesson for you guys who might not understand economics. Businesses do not pay extra wages. Businesses do not pay taxes. The customers pay it all. Because when they increase, when they demand that, hey, you're going to pay $20 an hour, the business is going to raise the price of their products and goods and services. Same thing when they increase the tax. They're going to increase the price of their goods. They're going to pass it on to the customer.
Yeah. And these chains, listen, I'm a pizza game guy, so I've worked in the pizza. You know, these, and I'm not some savvy entrepreneur per se or multimillionaire, but the game of these chains are, you know, it's high volume. You know, they're not making big money off a sandwich, right? So they price everything off selling a lot of the product, not off, you know, it's not like a nice fancy restaurant or something like that. So, you know, the employees, the managers, the GMs, assistant of these places, they're not making big bucks, right? When you walk up, hopefully we'll go to Papa John's here in a second. A Papa John's GM of a store is not making 100K or something like that, right? And so I feel bad for these workers because they're not making big bucks. And even franchisees, unless they probably own a handful of stores or even 7, 8, 9, 10 stores, they're not getting into big money.
Well, see, I'm kind of old school, man. It's like back in my day, we didn't go to McDonald's to establish a 30 to 40 year career. I mean, I delivered papers. I mean, I didn't expect them to pay $50 an hour to me just because I went and threw a paper on somebody's porch. I mean, that was a job for high schoolers or just to make a few bucks in the summer, you know, so you can go buy a bike or whatever you know, something as a kid. Yep. I mean, that was kind of an entry-level position to get your foot in the door, learn traditional basics like going to work on time, work ethics, doing a good job, and you're getting that base you have to have as a good productive employee for the rest of your life. I mean, it never was a career. I mean, you don't go to be a booger flipper as a career.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like I tell my kids, you should aspire to have a dream. Again, this is probably my good dad lesson for any modern Christian dude, teenagers out there, is to have realistic, obviously, find out what God's called you to do.
Yep.
I mean, first and foremost, the best decision you can make for your life is what God wants you to do.
Yes.
That's the first thing. That's your job. That's one of the things that God gives us to do is to find that. So it's kind of like the little treasure hunt. You're trying to find what it is. I mean, and through prayer, reading the word, and being around fellow believers, you'll discover what it is that God's called you to do.
Yep.
And then God has, one of the things, you find out you're good at something. There's like this talent you have that you're good at. Maybe that's kind of a signal that God's pointing you in that direction. You have talents, Jeremiah, Pastor, that I don't have. Yep. I've got talents that you don't have.
Yep.
And it doesn't make either of us better than the other. It's just God has a different ministry for you than he does for me.
Yeah.
And I've been presented opportunities that I found callings that I'd never realized I had. Like I go back to Sunday school when I first got here. I never taught a kid in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Justin's like, hey, you want to teach Sunday school? I'm like,
yep.
Oh, I don't know how I'm going to handle the kid. But you know what? That to me, that was God. Another reason that I think God was doing it because it puts you out of your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I'm not comfortable doing that. Oh, that might be a good reason. That might be a good sign that God wants you to do that because it's taking you out of your comfort zone. Because if you think all the type, all the Old Testament, New Testament people are called, they went out of their comfort zone. Jesus called, it's like Matthew, tax collector. He's comfortable being a tax collector. Come follow me. So now he has to make a decision. I have to leave everything behind and go follow. It's like, that probably wasn't very comfortable for Matthew.
Yeah.
I'm sure it wasn't comfortable. It's like, the first is like, come follow me, got up and left. But it doesn't really, doesn't paint what was going on in Matthew's mind. Like, I have to leave everything behind. But it's taken him out of his comfort zone. I'm sure he wasn't comfortable going away from that life he had before that Jesus called him to go. And so when Justin called me to be to say, hey, would you like to teach Sunday school? That's out of my comfort zone because I have a hard time talking. I stutter and I have a hard time with verbal communication. I can write really well, but I have a hard time with talking. And so I'm like, I'm just going to sound like Porky Pig trying to get up there and talk to teach these kids.
Mm-hmm.
But over the years, I honed that skill. And now I can go up there and talk to kids, and I'm telling them stuff about the Bible. And it's just stuff that blow your minds. Like, I've learned things. Even teaching the kids, I've learned things. I've learned things that I didn't realize, even while teaching the kids.
Yeah.
So I'm I'm growing as I'm helping them grow. So like I say, find what God's called you to do.
Yep.
And if it's not, if it's not in a church ministry, maybe he called you to go work as a computer guy or police officer.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously you find opportunities. I mean, obviously you got to be able to support yourself and your family. So, I mean, he's going to pray for the doors to open and stuff. It's like my daughter's like, Dad, I want to be a music teacher. Okay. You want to be a music teacher. Okay. Okay. What's the average salary of a music teacher? Can you support yourself being a music teacher at that salary?
Mm-hmm.
What's the growth potential for that? I mean, if it's only paying $20,000 a year, 10 years from now, you can be able to support yourself making $20,000 to $25,000 a year. No. Yeah. Might look at plan B. I mean, plan C. So there's a lot of things we have to make a decision, but the main thing is find what God wants you to do.
Yep. Wisdom from the mouth of Funko Pro Greg Walden. The moral of the story is don't work at McDonald's. You should be a Sunday school teacher.
Yep.
No.
We need more Sunday school teachers.
Yes, we
got plenty of McDonald's people out there.
Well, I mean, so there's, prices going up. My go-to nowadays is I go to Cane's Chicken Fingers.
Yeah.
You can get the three-piece chicken finger combo, three chicken, the piece of bread, fries, a drink for $10.
That's man,
that's like even fast food places, it's hard to find like a meal for $10 anymore. Chipotle, I went to... It wasn't Chipotle. What's the other? Qdoba. I went to Qdoba the other day and got nachos and a drink. I think it was like $15.49 or something. Goodness. Crazy, man. Yeah. So this world's... But hey, I got good news though, because I did find a good deal here online, okay? So I found this report out of Business Insider. It says, now, unfortunately, the U.S. swooped up on the deal before I got to it. But the U.S. buys, in this article, according to Business Insider, the U.S. buys 81 Soviet-era combat aircraft from Russia's ally, costing an average of less than $20,000 per report. Did you see this Funko Pro, Greg Walden?
I did not see that.
So the U.S. has purchased 81 Soviet-era combat aircraft from Kazakhstan. A report from the Kiev Post says Kazakhstan, a historic ally of Russia, is engaging more than engaging more with Western nations. The planes could be used for spare parts or as decoys in conflict regions, the Kiev Post reported. So there you go. The U.S. got a good deal on some old airplanes, fighter jets there.
Yeah.
$19,000 and some dollars each.
Probably like old.
I could afford that, dude. Old we could
80s,
have
80s level MiGs.
Yeah. We could have our own fighter jets. I can afford that. 20K. I can afford that.
Actually, you can buy a fighter jet in this country. There are actually companies out there that do sell, but obviously they're demilitarized. So, I mean, you're not going to go out there and fight some, you know, cheap
missiles. And
but you got to have, obviously you got to have a pilot's license. There's certain criteria to have, but if you have those criteria and obviously the money, you could actually you can buy an F-16. You could buy an old F-4, you know, all that stuff. So, yeah.
I think that's older ones, but I know like some of these rich actors, Tom Cruise and some of these guys have some of these old warplanes they fly around.
Yeah.
But F-16s, you can get F-16?
Yep, you can get an F-16. Probably like the first model, like an older model.
That's crazy. You could rip around in that sucker.
Well, see, with military, even with the Army, like you can go buy Army trucks, old Army trucks. They have a service life, and they decide that the vehicle is reached its end of its service life according to whatever military standard they have. And they'll put it out there, and you can go out and bid on it and purchase it. Mm. I mean, I see people purchase old car. I mean, I would like to be honest with you. I would love to have my an old 5-ton cargo truck like I drove. When I drove in the military, I would love to have one of those.
I'm trying to think of what I'm good at. I mean, I can't really fly an airplane. I don't have a pilot's license, but I do know how to fly, you know, drones. So I could find maybe they sell those old military. Grade drone I could pick up.
Not sure because I don't know how. I don't know what the drones like. I would presume if it had night vision, they wouldn't sell it because they kind of keep a tight control over night vision stuff like that. But
they're old alien tech. They're probably not putting on eBay or anything anytime soon.
Well, but speaking of money, if you're really hard up for cash, you can make $6,000 a day.
Okay.
And
drugs.
No.
Okay.
Gold. Gold.
Gold. Okay.
Yeah. If you're willing, there's an active volcano in Antarctica. It spews tiny crystals of gold worth $6,000 a day. So if you can go down there 100 degrees below zero and catch all these little gold crystals and enough of them, you can make $6,000 a day.
Yeah. I'm a YouTube junkie, so I watch some of these videos just that come up on the feed. So I watched a couple, not all the way through, but, you know, like why we've never been to the top of Antarctica and all this, like the North Pole and stuff. Yep. Like
it's a summit. The summit is called, Mount Erebus Antarctica. It's 12,448 feet tall. And so you'd have to go up there at 12,000 foot, probably with the big old, had to have something to collect all those little gold particles that come out, and you could sell them, make $6,000 a day.
Wow. Well, we're not a conspiracy podcast per se, but you dive into any of those conspiracies of like, you know, North Pole, South Antarctica, there's stuff up there just like,
I don't know.
side of the moon, et cetera.
People come up with all kinds of crazy stuff all the time, man.
What else you got there, Funko Pro Greg Walden?
Let's see. I'm going to hit the back button here. Just had it up there. Doggone it.
Well, as you're pulling that up, I'll get another one that I was reading through today that has been really hot the past couple of weeks is this whole TikTok ban, right? So I pulled this up from usatoday.com. It says, don't use TikTok. Here's what to know about the popular app and its potential ban in the U.S. So TikTok is in the news because President Biden signed into a law a bill that could ban the smartphone app in the U.S., but maybe you've never used TikTok. Here's what the basics and the apps are important for. Let's just read. Time's up for TikTok. President Biden signed into law a bill that could lead to a nationwide ban of the app. The legislation passed in recent days by Congress, given TikTok's Chinese parent company, ByteDance, up to a year to sell its U.S. operations or face a ban. Lawmakers cited national security concerns. The popular app is used by 170 million Americans, many of them younger. More than half of TikTok's users, 51.8%, are age 24 or under, and 87.4% of its users are under the age of 45, according to Business of Apps. So you got any hot takes on TikTok? I don't use it. I've never got into the TikTok, Snapchat, things of that nature. I pretty much stay in the realm of Facebook and Instagram, those kind of things. So I do think it's very interesting. You know, a lot of the big issue being China using it as a manipulative tool for Americans. I do agree with that. I do think it's a very dangerous tool.
Right.
And it is part of the demise of our young people in the country today. So
it's just another thing that sucks your brain in. But the problem is, like, my dad watches it all the time.
He does? Your dad?
My dad's a big
TikToker?
Yeah, he's a TikTok junkie.
Old man TikToker.
Mom complains because he'll, like, go in the bathroom and spend like 2 hours watching TikTok in the bathroom.
And that's the thing, right? It just it sucks your life away.
Well, half the crap on there is smut.
Yeah.
I mean, even
what is he? I guess we don't want to bury your dad.
I don't know what he's doing. Okay. Well, he's not safe. So, I mean, but anyways, yeah. I'm just saying that even on Facebook, he's like, you're inundated. You're like, you go in there and you see these reels. Yeah. And, you know, half of those are smut too.
Yep.
And so I was like, it's, it is a security risk, but here's my counter question. China owns 384,000 acres of American soil.
Yes.
Is that not also a security risk?
Right.
No one's talking about that.
Yeah, that is crazy because they've talked about that here in Missouri, that they own property in Missouri.
Well, they own it. They own most of the politicians too.
Yeah, that is scary. So. That they own, and I guess the argument would be, the counter argument would be that it's purchased through companies that are not exclusive to China, et cetera.
Well, it's like, but you still follow the money. It goes back to China.
Right, yeah, right. It's like we'd say government money is, you know, we can, oh man, I don't know if we should approach that topic, but Israel, Palestine, Syria, right? That there's monies flowing to our enemies, but it's so, you know, it takes so long to trace that dollar.
Well, there's a lot, like, there's a lot of speculation. Again, I'm not saying this is true or not, because, like, again, no one said, but there was speculation that, like, when Iran attacked Israel with all those missiles and drones, because they did it supposedly in retaliation for when Israel, I guess, killed their top generals and stuff in Damascus. So I guess supposedly this is just hype. You know, it's just to say supposed, so it's not truth. Or, I mean, this is somebody was reporting that they believe that Biden was like, get green lighting with Iran. It's like, yeah, you can go and do it, but you can only do so much. So they were like playing both sides of the field.
Wow.
It's like, yeah, you can go attack Israel, but just keep it kind of at a minimum. Oopsie.
Yeah.
Again, that was right. So there was people that were reporting that, but again, I'm not saying it's truth because obviously no one, it's not confirmed or nothing like that. So, but yeah, it's one of those things.
I guess I'm kind of in favor overall of it being banned or being owned, because the ban is they have to sell it to like an American company or something like that. So it's not like TikTok is going to go away,
but
it's like ownership.
So the Americans owns it, but you'll still find half of it full of smut.
Yeah, right.
So nothing changes.
Oh my goodness. What other stories you got there, sir?
All righty. Okie dokie. So, and all this new craze of electric vehicles and all that stuff, and everybody trying to get everybody to go green and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Looks like in Japan, they have produced the world's first non-polluting combustion engine. It has 440 horsepower and only emits water vapors.
Okay.
So how could you not? So obviously one of the biggest knocks against, or at least right now, against electric vehicles is range, obviously the cost, and, you know, and the time it takes to recharge them, because now you got to sit, you know, every 100 miles, whatever. And especially with the trucks, like,
yeah,
you know, they took an F-150, a regular combustion engine F-150, and the Lightning, and they towed a boat from Denver. Everyone's going to see how far they can tow the boat. And of course, obviously the combustion engine made like 300 miles. Obviously, you would expect about 300 miles out of a truck towing a big boat.
Yep.
But the Lightning made it like 60 miles, and I'm done.
Huh.
And so it got lucky, got down to Colorado Springs. Like, I need a charge, please. I'm about to die. So that's again, that's probably the biggest knock. Now with a internal combustion engine, so you get the advantages of your internal combustion engine, but you don't get the pollutants. Like, the big things, obviously, you can have your opinion on what you think. I think climate change is one of the biggest fraud in human history. It's a lie. Mm-hmm. It's a lie from hell. That's just my opinion.
Okay.
Because carbon dioxide has existed since the world was created. If you think how much carbon dioxide was breathed out by animals and humans in the 6,000 years, we should all be baking like chips right now, you know? But again, the government claims there's climate change. and carbon dioxide and all these gasoline burning engines are killing the planet, blah, blah, blah. So, okay. Well, how now does water vapor kill the planet now?
Mm-hmm.
Does water? No. So
I don't think so.
So you can, also electric vehicles, two downsides that no one talks about, you're still killing the planet. All those lithium mines you're digging out in China using cheap labor. I'm sure, and in China, obviously don't care about they're probably the biggest polluter.
Right.
And two, you get home at night, you're plugging your car in, right? I feel so green. What's giving you the power to recharge your vehicle? Coal plant.
Yep.
So you're, which they're trying to kill, right? I mean, they're actually going after the Biden's going after all the coal plants. So now you're not going to be able to charge your car because he's going to kill your coal plant.
Right. And yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. I just, again, it's kind of interesting. I haven't heard a lot of breaking news from Tesla recently. I mean, there's been some minimal news. They're starting to release the Cybertruck here and there. I've seen some complaints about that, just production. But that's a very natural thing. When something super new comes off a production line, there can be some discrepancies, problems of that kind of thing. But at the same time, people are going on about it will be remembered as a game-changing type of vehicle
in history. People are abandoning electric vehicles.
That's for sure.
Yeah. Ford's like, we're not going to produce a Lightning anymore. No one's buying them.
Yeah.
It's like they're non-sellers. And again, I'm not against alternative energy. I'm not against alternative energy. I'm not against EVs. But the problem is
e-bike, Greg Walden.
And I've got an e-bike. So there you go. But I'm not against electric vehicles.
Supports the industry.
However, I'm saying is, one, the government's got to get out of the way because government screws everything up.
Yep.
The technology has to mature to where it can become a comparable and equal performance, valuation, affordability. So you have an alternative that performs just as good or maybe even better than an internal combustion engine. You have the infrastructure to support it, and it's cost effective. And then when it can do that, hey, go for it, you know.
Yeah.
But right now,
I'd equate it. I think it's years away, because they've talked about by 2030, 2035, we want to have only electric cars, California, or, whatever. There's some. I think that's such foolishness.
That's where the government screws it up, because the government's like, we're going to do it right now. Government's like, we're going to kill the gas industry right now. Okay, you kill the whole economy because everything runs on gas.
I'd put it on this level. I'd put it on flying cars level. Like, that's how far away I think it is.
Right.
Think of how long from cartoons as kids. Flying cars. We're not even close to flying cars.
But 25 years ago, I saw a video of a guy who actually invented a engine, and he took a stock engine. This is the same car, the engine's in your car right now. He made it with a little bit of modification, but he basically took vegetable oil, poured it in there, and ran. And the only thing that came out was water. Mm-hmm. But that got kind of shoved under the rug. But
yeah, some things behind the scenes.
Well, anyway,
players, money.
But the thing is, they've killed every, they've killed innovation to get away. To get away from the internal combustion engine. They've got to allow, the government's got to get out of the way, allow people to innovate, create a good, alternative to and when that's created and it proves to be affordable and they get into the market. They get to where people can afford it. You can't even afford a regular car. You can't even afford a regular car right now, let alone an electric vehicle. I mean, go try to buy a truck right now. Go to Ford right now. Try to buy a brand new truck, $80,000. Nobody can afford it.
Yeah.
So it's like, how are you going to afford an electric vehicle when you can't even afford an internal combustion engine vehicle? It's like they're just going to sit in a lot. So like, government's got to get out of the way. Allow the free market to stabilize and get things where people can afford it. And then once that technology is matured, again, keyword matured, and they have the infrastructure to support it, and then you have to attract people away from. It's like I drive a gas F-150. If you want to get me into an electric F-150, you've got to make it where it gives me the same performance, the same affordability, the same everything. To attract me to go there, and if you do, I'll be the first one to buy. I'll be the first one to buy one.
Yep. Greg Walden, we got him wound up today. Yeah. Good job, everybody. He's a capitalist, sounds like, yeah, over there. So, yeah, it's you know, I just don't – I love Tesla. I love the Tesla technology and all those kind of things. I just think that's just
– Oh, yeah.
To truly move to just electric cars is great really far away.
It's
really
good technology. I mean, it's exciting to see this new technology. And there's a lot of problems, even the electric vehicle, like right now, lithium. They're solid state. That seems to be – again, they're playing around with that technology. And if that technology – is matured and actually gives the real world performance like they're thinking it has, it would beat any lithium. You know, they're getting 1,000-mile ranges out of these prototype vehicles. Yep. They're driving them 1,000 miles and they only charge like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. I mean, what's your average stop at a gas station? 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not stopping at a gas station any longer.
Unless it's Buc-ee's, it might be a little bit longer.
Well, there you're going in nearby.
Wrapping it up with some spiritual talk, and we hate to just ramble on all this other stuff and not give God his due, but one just good scripture I had today as I was reading through my daily Bible is found in Psalm chapter 14, verse 1. It's out of the Amplified. It says, "The spiritually ignorant fool has said in his heart, there is no God." And just that simple verse really captured me today to just...
I've heard it. Yep.
Say, God, I acknowledge you today. I believe in you. And, you know, just this world, you know, again, because we're, even this podcast, we're following events and just different things that are happening in our society. To watch people that just won't acknowledge that there's God just blows my mind. You know, I think as we're making this little minuscule podcast compared to someone like Joe Rogan, and I appreciate Joe Rogan. He has some great guests on. Very fascinating podcast. But it's just... I can't wrap my mind around that he could never acknowledge God or want to believe or connect with God. You know, he'll entertain the wildest of theories, aliens, etc., all these kind of things. But just to say that there is no possibility of God, you know, Joe, I don't want to like call you a fool, but it's foolish for sure. Right. And you are a fool. You know, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And so we think of just all these varying places in society, American society, that don't acknowledge God. And then we see the chaos. We see what not acknowledging God and believing God does. And it's horrible. It's bad. There's nothing productive from that. And, you know, it's just amazing that people can't give God. For example, we were a week or two ago, right? The solar eclipse, all that was... You know, everyone was staring at the creation of God. Everyone was admiring the creation of God. But a good portion of those people are like, I don't really believe in God, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I wake up today as a modern Christian dude and am grateful that I believe in God. I acknowledge him. And I'm grateful. I might be a fool in other areas, but I'm not foolish in that one place in my life.
Well,
and that I've decided to put my life in God.
Well, they don't want to admit there's a God, because if they admit they're God, then they have to admit they're accountable to him.
Yeah.
And, again, that goes back to, like, nobody wants to... what do you think makes the evolution so attractive to the culture and the world? Hey, I'm just an animal. I'm not accountable for my actions. I'm just an animal. I'm just doing what I was that I evolved to do. I go out there and I could go out there and chase 200 women. I just me. I'm a dude. I just the way I do. I was evolved. Yeah. You know, it's like I don't have to have a standard for my conduct, because there's no one I have to give an accountability to. So the Man, it still goes back to like John 3:16. They love their they refuse to come to light because they love their darkness. But Psalms 2, I love Psalms 2. I mean, people think, you know, you get these people with degrees, like, you know, they're out there arguing, blah, blah, blah. They think they're the smartest things in the world. And just, I mean, they think they're just sticking it over in God by doing all this stuff. But Psalm 2, he goes, "Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision, and he will speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure." So, like, God just, like, laughs at him. He's like, he's giving him a big belly laugh. Like, you really think, like, right, dude. You're pathetic. All the plans they make, all the plans they try to, he's like, we're going to kick God out of the country. We're going to really shut the church down. We're going to really stick it to the bakers. But they think they're going to really stick it to God's people. God just laughs at him.
Yeah. It's sad for me, someone who's connected with our local school system here. I, you know, won't dive too far deep into it, but just last week I noticed multiple kids, students that were high schoolers that were clearly homosexual and lifestyle and that kind of thing. And I just was watching it, you know, just like, man, they need God. You know, they need God. They're looking for identity. They're looking for fulfillment in relationship that are outside of the realm of the way God has designed it. They just need God, you know, and I know that's a very, very simplified. I know it's much more complicated and the brokenness of our world is much deeper than that, but the starting point is God, you know, for you today, for me today, for all of us. Like, we got to start with God. God has to be everything, really, but it has to be the starting point of our lives.
I agree
today.
He has to be everything. It's like I told the kids. I said, God doesn't take second, third place. God is either everything in your life or he's nothing. He's either first place in your life or he's nothing. There's no middle ground. There's no. Well, God, I got this first. You're second place. No. You can't keep your foot in the world and God at the same time. You gotta make a choice. God says he'd rather you be hot or cold, but if you're lukewarm, he'll spit you out of his mouth. So be hot.
Yeah. I have a good friend. I like the way he said it one time back in the day. It really caught my attention. He's like, I don't want God to be first on my list. He is the list.
Yes.
You know, sometimes like, here's God, family, work, church. You know, like we create this list. Oh, but God's number one on the list is like, no, he's the whole list.
Right.
He's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You know, he's got to be number one in all those phases of our life. So. Yep. He's
God first.
Yeah. Anyway, well, we should go buy some really expensive food right now.
Yeah.
Overpriced food. But fortunately, minimum wage in Missouri is only 12 something right now.
Oh, so. My daughter just got hired at McDonald's. She's making more than my wife at her at Murphy's.
Oh, guys, modern Christian dudes talking news, sports, and God. We'll talk to you next time.
Have a good one, guys.